Hi, I'm Stacy. I love chatting about how to find our callings, preferably cozied up with steaming beverages in a coffee shop. You can connect with me on social media at Stacy Summerow and subscribe to stacysummerow.com for a free discernment packet called How to Make the Right Choice. God's adventure awaits, my friend, and I am thrilled you're on the journey with me.
Hello there, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Called and Caffeinated, where I'm really excited to dive into a couple of visions that I've received from the Lord. Now, before I get into these personal stories of mine, I just wanted to invite you to check out a new candle that I just released on the Catholic All Year Marketplace. I have a collection of handmade beeswax candles that I sell in partnership with Catholic All Year. I will leave a link in the show notes. This one I'm particularly happy to present to the world because it has a beautiful dome on top. It's a concrete vessel, and it looks like the dome of St. Peter's Basilica. And in the pattern, which is very intricate, around the vessel, there's a hidden key pattern, which I kind of saw immediately. It popped out to me, and I knew immediately I wanted to make this candle. It has a scent of lily, jasmine, and sea salt, which is just this beautiful, very fresh and uplifting scent. And there's symbolism behind each of those scents. This scent is called the Ex Cathedra scent, which means from the seat of Peter. And it is a reminder that God always stays with his church. So again, link in the show notes. I invite you to check it out. There's 10, maybe 11 other candles there as well that I invite you to check out. And it's just such a blessing to have my candles and have so many people around the country purchase them and just to see where they go. And I love that they're inspiring people's prayer time. So that is really special. Okay, let us get to this episode. Okay, I need to make a preamble when I talk about visions, okay? I realize as I make this episode that either people may have two undesirable reactions, and I cannot manage other people's emotions, but I know that these reactions are going to happen. The first one is going to be, oh, she's so crazy, and I can't control that. You can think I'm crazy if you want, but you know, if you're here to listen, just stay here and I'll be with me in this and, you know, see if you learn something. I might be crazy for the record. I might actually agree with you on that one. The other reaction is, oh, she thinks she's so special. And that one, actually, knowing that people might have that reaction, maybe not want to make this episode. So I can tell you, I would much rather keep these experiences private between the Lord and me. This is a very vulnerable part of myself and my prayer life to share. But I started to become really bold about it because I really believe that if we are listening for the Lord's voice, not just praying as though we're praying into a void, you know, but praying like people who know that Easter is real, that the Lord is risen, and that he wants to speak to us and wants to continue to interact with us in whatever way he chooses, not just as visions or voices, but in a million creative ways, then I think we would start praying differently. I think we would start living differently. I think we would hear him more. And then I think we in turn could then go out just like the apostles at Pentecost and really change the world. So this is the new frontier for my ministry, is encouraging people to help, to listen for the Lord's voice with expectation, to really look for him working in their lives. And I think for too long, we've been a church that's timid, a church that's on the defensive, a church that's running away from abuse scandals and trying to just manage and cope. And we need to rediscover the love that has been there from the start in our own hearts and really, you know, as individuals, just not feel this need to apologize for our faith, but to actually embrace it and really try to seek the Lord. So this is my goal in making this episode. It's not to share with you that I think I'm so special. I know I'm special to God, but I also know that you are special to God and that he wants to interact with you too, in whatever way he deems possible. Now, there are friends of mine who I've told about these visions, and I've heard them say, well, I'm kind of jealous about that. I wish I had those visions and voices. And I thought, you know, it's probably because your faith is stronger than mine. That's probably why God has chosen to not give you these kinds of visions, because your faith is so strong that you're living a faithful life. God is showing you his providence in other ways. And I don't think it's a reflection. In fact, I know it's not a reflection on how strong your faith is, whether God talks to you in a vision or as a voice in your head or not. So please don't take this as a reflection on my faith. This is just my testimony. This is just the way the Lord's speaking to me. And perhaps he will start to speak to you in a similar way. So maybe, or maybe not, but it'll be something creative and unique to you. All right. My goal here in this episode is to create a bridge between where you are and the great saints, the saints like Saint Faustina, who heard the Lord speaking to her often, all the time, every day, and she saw him often. You know, we may look at her story and say, well, I'm not holy like that. I'm not a great saint. Therefore, God wouldn't want to speak to me. And in my experience, and in many other saints' experiences, God started speaking to them while they were still great sinners. Look at St. Paul. Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was Saul before he was Paul. And he was blinded. And then when he recovered his sight, his life was totally changed. So if you are in sin, if you are listening to this and you know you need to go to confession, you know you're in habitual sin, please don't discount yourself from the mercy and the love and the voice of God. He wants to lift you out of that. Okay, so that was a bit of a long preamble, but thank you for hanging with me through that. I think that was really necessary. Let's talk about the first vision. I am going to call this one, what am I going to call this one? I think I'm going to call this one Holding Hands with Jesus, because that's exactly what it was. There was a time before I had children when I was single where I really was asking Jesus to be closer to him. And often when I pray, it's kind of an Ignatian prayer style where I imagine myself in the scene with Jesus or whatever Bible scene, you know, with Our Lady, whatever scene I'm meditating on. And in this case, it was the crucifixion. And seeing Jesus suffering so much, I just kept asking to myself, like, what can I do? How can I help him? So I put my hand over his. And, you know, the depiction of Jesus is that his hands were open on the cross. And so he couldn't grasp my hand back. So in order to get closer to him and to really fully wrap my hand around his, I had to pierce my hand with the same nail that was coming out of his hand. And so that conveyed so much to me. It was a simple image, but what it conveyed to me was that when we suffer, we are more like Christ. And when we suffer, we're closer to Christ and we share in his suffering. In order to get closer to our beloved, we need to suffer. Hebrews 13:5 says, he has said, I will never forsake you or abandon you. Thus we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? That was the first one. These ones you'll notice are very simple images, but they are really effective in communicating something about God. And another note I should say, I should have put this in the preamble, but if you ever receive a vision where God tells you to do something, to take some kind of action, please take that to your spiritual director. St. Teresa of Avila actually says, don't follow those instructions. Don't act on those things because, as Father Ripperger says, God's not the only one who broadcasts on that channel. If you want to listen to the episode that I did last, it was about discerning the voices that you hear or the visions that you receive, whether they are locutions from God, the devil, or your imagination. It's kind of a short, succinct episode that will give you some really good grounding. And so you'll notice in these images that I'm sharing, God's not telling me to do anything. Rather, he's speaking about our relationship, which really is heaven, right? Heaven is seeing God face to face. It's all relationship. It's not a to-do list. There's no tasks. It's just relationship. And so these images and these visions that I've been given have been a little foretaste of heaven for me. This vision that I had of holding Jesus' hand on the cross and making my hand be pierced with the same nail as his was so powerful for me that when I met my husband, he painted it for me one year, actually. So I'll leave a link in the show notes to this episode on YouTube, and you can go into that, and I'll leave a little timestamp of where specifically in the episode you can find it. I do record all of my episodes for YouTube as well, so if you're curious, you can go over, and I would love if you would subscribe while you're there. Let's go to vision number two. This had to do with healing after my daughter's very long, horrific NICU stay. It was 126 days. If you know my story, my daughter's story, she has a lifelong disability of cerebral palsy, and she has a feeding tube. She had to undergo 4 terrible surgeries in the NICU on her intestines. It was just a time of huge suffering for my family. Her birth was traumatic. The separation and the grief of her diagnosis were traumatic. The long NICU stay, the kind of just me always feeling like I was abandoning my children because they were never allowed to be together until my daughter was over 4 months old. So all of that suffering compounded was just so hard. And we came home from the NICU. We had like this triumphant return. And it was so beautiful. It was so good. But about a year after she was born, so when I'd been home for several months and we were a little bit out of crisis mode, I just crashed. I mean, I had been going for a year with so little sleep, so much stress and anxiety. And I started really crashing and I was asking the Lord, like, how do I recover from this? How do I hold it all together while I'm parenting three little children and running to a million doctor appointments? How do I do this? And I, one day in prayer, just started to visualize my heart. This was the part of my imagination before the Lord kind of took over and gently started to control the image. And I imagined my heart, and from the front, from the visible part, it looked good. It looked fine. It was holding itself together. It was no problem. You know, people from the outside who saw my life as a special needs mom would be like, oh, you're dressed and wearing makeup and you look good and your children look beautiful. They're dressed. Your house looks not too shabby. You're making it to your doctor's appointments. You know, you're crushing it. But on the inside, I just felt like I was crumbling. So as I continued to imagine my heart, I turned it to the side and there was this big gaping wound in the side. It was huge. You could never fix it with a Band-Aid or even stitches. It was just too large. And I realized as I looked at this image in my mind that that was me. That was exactly what was happening. I was holding it together, but I had this pain I didn't even know how to talk about. And then God sort of started to take control of this imagination, my imagination, and Jesus was there with me, and he reached into the wound and he pulled out the sword. And the sword was gold. It was beautiful. It was so radiant. And he showed me an image of his mother's heart, which is pierced with seven swords, the image of Our Lady of Sorrows. And this sword that had been in my heart that you couldn't even really see, it was so deep in there. It was, to me, taking out the sword was healing. It was allowing the wound to heal, but then it was also this weapon, this battle weapon that he handed to me. He gave it to me and he said, this is going to be your defense against the devil. This is how you're going to win souls. And the beautiful thing about the simplicity of that image was that it was exactly the sword that had pierced me, the difficulty of my suffering that was going to become the thing that would most help other people, that would help me to further the kingdom and fight the powers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And that vision just spoke so deeply to me of healing and of God's love and of his ability to, miraculous ability, to transform the darkest places in our lives into the places of greatest light and greatest good. And so since then, I took that as kind of a foreshadowing of potentially being able to help people, hopefully in greater numbers, as I go through life, as I process my wounds, as I learn how to live as a special needs mom. And that is exactly what that battle is exactly what's going to help others most. So I think that's just so beautiful. So help others most, of course, starting with my daughter, my special needs daughter. You know, my relationship with her is just, how do you even describe it? It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to see her alive and thriving and loving her life so much. There was another day where I was holding her and she was still a little baby at that point. We had her hooked up to a feeding tube all the time. So she was always hooked up to this IV pole and we would carry it around the house with the feeding bag on it and an IV line running into her stomach. And her stomach was so sensitive and her gag reflex was so bad after the hospital that she would just be throwing up like 6 or 7 or 8 times a day. So every couple hours, we would just be rushing to the sink, trying to make it there so that we wouldn't have to mop the floor again or all the cabinets or the entire kitchen. And my life just felt like, you know, just cleaning up bodily fluids. And it was very difficult. I barely made it out of my pajamas, you know, and I was walking past this beautiful ceramic heart that my friend Erin Perry had made for me. Shout out to Erin Perry. And she has this ministry where she just makes ceramic sacred hearts for people. They're beautiful. I had one hanging on my wall in my bedroom. And as I was walking past it, holding my daughter, I just sent up a cry to the Lord, you know, what are you doing in this time? Why? It's so hard for me to watch my baby suffer. It's so hard for me to just feel like we can't even get to a place of surviving. And I heard his voice in my head as a voice. It wasn't a voice in the room, but I just heard him say, as I looked at this cross or at this sacred heart, I understand it all. I gave you this suffering so that you would understand me better. Again, it's that relationship. It always comes back to that relationship. And in this case, it was gain. You know, that's the word that comes to mind. You're gaining more understanding. You're actually becoming better. You are increasing your repertoire, your emotional repertoire, your emotional capacity for compassion and empathy and understanding. You know, Stacy, a couple years ago, was not very compassionate. I was a make it happen kind of person and a very energetic and just kind of get it together, fix your problems and don't complain about them kind of person. There's virtues to being that kind of person, but it's not a great way to be ultimately, especially if you're called to be a minister to others. And after having my daughter, I can understand how bad a health crisis is and how bad it can feel and how bad it can get. And so really I'm gaining these days of hardship and these days of dedicated service when I have no time to myself are really a gain ultimately in God's kingdom, which is beautiful. Again, it's that transformation of your deepest suffering into the greatest good. Finally, the last image that I want to share is Our Lady Undoer of Knots. My husband and I are building a house, as you guys know, and it's been a very good process, but a very stressful process. It's one of those things they say, like special needs parenting, it's one of the things that puts greatest strain on a marriage. You know, we're doing fine, but we were at a point in a conversation where I just could not see the way forward. It was just so stressful. We both had very legitimate but different points of view, and we have to resolve these things because we have to make financial decisions in a certain time frame, much higher pressure than most other home scenarios. So we're talking through things, and I made this statue of Our Lady, and I sculpted her out of clay, and she's sitting on my dresser, and I just looked at her, and my heart just cried out in its need, like, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, please help me. I just don't understand how we are going to move through this. And I could imagine in that moment, it was very quick. It was like my eyes were still open. I wasn't even like praying and concentrating, but I could just see in my mind's eye, I could just see my tension. I could see the problem. And it was these strings winding in and out of this knot. And it was so tight. It was like you could never with your fingernails undo that ball of string. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel. I feel so tense. I feel so tight. There's so many factors going on here. There's so much stress. I don't even know what to do with this. And then it was cool because as I looked at that ball, and that was kind of, you know, my imagination, then I felt like Our Lady was taking control of that. And she just kind of relaxed this ball of string. Like the strands of the string changed in essence. They kind of turned gold and they just became really soft and relaxed and they just fell apart. And as they fell apart, they didn't just fall randomly. They stayed intertwined, but they became like a beautiful Celtic knot. If you've ever seen the Book of Kells or any Celtic knot imagery, you know that it's beautiful because of its complexity. And there's all of these strands winding in and out and around. And it's kind of fun to almost treat the strands like a maze and try to see which one goes where. And so this, what had been this ugly little ball of string became this beautiful design. And so beautiful because of its complexity. And I just felt like it was Our Lady saying, I'm going to take care of this. And not only that, but God's glory is going to shine through so greatly because of your need. Your need is not going to be you're not just going to stay in your need. You're actually going to move into a manifestation of God's beautiful glory. And it was so instantaneous, like her power to just change this argument and this battle of wills that neither of us wanted. We didn't want to butt heads. We wanted to be understanding of one another. And sure enough, with more hard work, it didn't resolve in an instant, but we are seeing the results of our hard work on our relationship and our attempts to just love each other through our argument and stay together emotionally with one another and stay unified, you know, and lots of beautiful fruit has come from that. You know, it's been a process of really reaffirming our love for one another. And I just love that so much. So thank you to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. Okay, and that's all I have for you today. Please enter into the conversation. I have hired more help, which means that I now am able to respond more easily to emails and messages. Please send me a message through my website. I would love to hear personal testimonies, just anecdotal evidence of the Lord speaking to you. I'm very curious about all the different creative ways God can speak to you. I know sometimes it's complicated to explain the context because God likes to answer prayers very personally, but if you feel like sharing with me, I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to perhaps share some testimonies on a future episode. It would just be great, and I'm really looking forward to exploring this whole topic more this year. I have so many more ideas for episodes. If you want to chat with me in person, come on over to patreon.com/calledandcaffeinated. We do monthly video chats. We love welcoming new members, and your pledge of just $5 a month or more will support the provision of this unique discernment content. So please come on over to Patreon, and I will leave a link as always in the show notes. All right, God bless you guys. Until we have coffee next, stay caffeinated because you are called to greatness. God's adventure awaits, and until I see you next time, know of my prayers for you. God bless.